Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Jim Gerhardt, Bob Williams, of course. I think there was a promo that went out or a notice that we talked a little bit about the Carton situation, which I have done before.
Craig Carton just reported for his jail sentence.
Reported for jail. I'm trying to find out where they sent him, but I do not know yet.
I believe he was in the Catskills.
Now, what I'd like to do, I'd like to have your comments about it, your feelings about this. I certainly have made mine known. Matter of fact, one of my Jeremiah ads went what they call viral.
Viral. It's contagious.
But anyway, would like to know, if you have a response. As you know, he worked here for, 3 years?
Five years.
5 years.
2002 to 2006.
Yeah, and just to tell you the impression that he left here, I say that Judy Franco made me the happiest person in the world. She made a lot of people happy when she came in one day and says, "He's going. Carton's leaving." And it was almost like, a fiesta broke out. I expected the mariachi band, and dancing in the streets. Because he had made a lot of people here very, very unhappy. And he notably seemed to be on my case for whatever his reason was. So let's see what we've got here. I can't see, Lou, I cannot see the whole message there. There we go. Okay. This is Lisa?
Lisa Basil. Basil?
Okay, she said he's a bully, took it to the extreme, and now he's got to pay. Don't feel bad for him. I think a lot of people would feel that way about it. And this is Jim Vitola. Jim says we used a term here indicating ecstatic emotional feeling. by attempting to make a fool out of Ray Rossi, who I consider a stand-up guy. Yes, Ray is a good guy. He's an excellent broadcaster. Right. But Ray was put into a situation there as they wanted a team.
And
they wanted to call
Craig
it Jersey
Sanchez.
Guys. And Ray is a Jersey guy as ever there was one. And so, unfortunately, Ray had to sort of subdue his own role, his personality, and play second banana for a person who did things that I think Ray in his wildest dream would not do, because he certainly does not have
anger. As far as time on the mic, Craig spoke for about 80% of the time, and Ray's big thing was, "Yeah, you're right, Chief. You're right there, cuz."
Well, that was his whole thing. Yeah. No, that's indubitably. Indubitably. And of course, every morning he'd come down and he'd do, 20 minutes bashing me. No, I don't know why. Never met him. Never said a word about him. But he'd start that, and then Ray, of course, had to sit there and agree with it, which I'm sure he was a little bit embarrassed by. Okay, this is for you and your comments. So I'll try to cut back a little bit on mine. I think you've heard those. Let's go to John Kern, and let's see. We have to paraphrase here. As much as I couldn't stand that, what should we say, sphincter and I?
Yep, something like that, yeah.
Craig Carton, he was always there for Mikey Nichols. And Mikey Nichols, a hockey player who was injured, and yes, he did that. He was very selective in his charitable type work, because he had to do that to balance out the very bad reputation he was getting. That was notable in the case when he jumped on Governor Cody. He just completely was just unspeakably rude about Governor Cody's wife, Mary Jane Cody, who's a wonderful person, and he got so much bad
publicity
response to that. Even the governor was going to come in and wipe up the parking lot with him.
We were concerned
the
that
governor
when
came
I,
in,
they,
he had a state. Yeah,
he was doing that. Well, I wasn't, but he had the Ask the Governor show.
Yeah, right.
And it was kind of hairy, from what I understood. It was kind of heated.
Yeah.
When they saw each other in the hallway, something like, didn't Cody say, "I should knock your block off"?
Yeah, and the state police security, which of course he had with him, sort of broke the thing up. But then immediately, seeing that there was bad response, Carton comes back. He's going to start a foundation for postpartum depression. Ridiculous. But if it works, I guess it's helpful for people.
I think Craig was a very conflicted individual.
Well, I'm not a psychologist, but I think I can understand what goes on in his head. This is it's something that narcissism is an asset to performers. It would be very difficult to perform without some sense. I would sum up a little, it was a fantasy or what, when he goes off to his final reward and he stands before the throne of God, this magnificent whatever setting that he's in. And as the people line up to come by to be judged, the God will say, you know, what do you have to say for yourself? So when Carton gets there, God looks down from the throne and says, and however God would express himself, what do you have to say for yourself? Carton's response, when looking back up at God and the throne, is, what I have to say is, what are you doing in my seat? I think, but this is kind of something that's locked into the neural commotion that goes on in the brain.
Well, incarceration does strange things to people, and I don't know, you've got to hope that it's going to be a positive experience.
Let me do a little bit of this. Can I see the other part of the screen? Is that possible there?
Oh, okay. Len Moore,
This is my person. I got to say who worked here. It was a great person who doesn't anymore, but was there. He said, it says nothing about Jim hating Craig Carton. In fact, if you listen to Jim, you'd know how he feels about the entire situation. I bet Jim will take the high road like he did before. So let's listen before comment. I worked there, and I know the whole truth about how it went down when Carton was around. And anyway, I won't read the rest of it because it's along that line. So
I'll read it. Len says, Jim is a gentleman and has more class than Carton could ever dream of having. Len guarantees this podcast here will not be Jim spewing hate. That's not Jim's style.
I don't think there's any. At the time, it would rise to the level of hate. But it certainly was very unpleasant. It was very depressing to have somebody bash you every day and you can't bash back.
And it's questionable because we're all on the same team. We're all trying to present the radio station to the public, and to pit one faction of the station against the other just for whatever reason. Yeah. It was just such a cancerous, toxic situation.
Yeah, he kept everything very stewed up and just kept going, wouldn't let up. You remember, Patrick, who did the program with me when you were out for your operation, he recalled an incident that he had talked to a person who was a producer at the station at the time Carton was here. And this person told him that, told Patrick Lavery, he said, my first recollection is, my biggest recollection, the day I walked in, my first day, I walked in the newsroom, and here was Carton physically abusing one of the newsmen, because the newsman presumably was not attributing all the news to Carton. he used to do this thing about my sources tell me, I have these sources for heaven's sweet sake. I think, you know, make another kind of side analogy here, the personality. Remember in South Park, Cartman.
Little Cartman.
Who also had a problem with his ego.
Narcissism?
Well, a bit. And one time, and these are what, eighth graders or something of the sort, I think he was 8 years old or whatever the little kids are. And they had a thing in town to go in and let kids participate in public life. He was made police chief of a day. Well, he took it seriously. So the thing is, and I have a T-shirt with a picture. I should have worn it today. He's riding around on his Hot Wheels with a stick, whacking everybody, saying, yield to my authority. Remember that? So I think this is what we're doing.
Isn't it funny how cartoon characters never age? They're still that same age, even though it was 25 years ago when the South Park came out. They're still in there.
Well, yeah, but you know they've tried that with shows, but it doesn't work. Right. When the cast starts aging, you know, they jump the shark.
Bart Simpson is still 12 years old.
I think the only remark that I ever made about him on the air, and I didn't mention by name, but I had referred to, and I think people understood who I was talking about, that here was a peanut who thought itself to be a dirigible, and I think that was part of the thing. Alice Prognier. Says he got to thinking he was a big shot. Big shots are always brought down sooner or later. Well, see, I limit my my feelings on the time he was here. After that, I have no idea. I never heard him. I don't know what he was doing. I would imagine, my guess is that first thing out of the box, he'd go after Mike Francesa because Mike was older and established person, I had been
from
here.
From what we've seen and heard, that's exactly what happened over there.
But anyway, I don't want to beat this forever. Right. This is Brian Applegate. If someone was being toxic around me and infecting me with their negativity, I'd refuse to forgive that person, choose to move on with my life. That's exactly how I feel about Craig Carton. Also, he's a con artist, artist and a jerk. Well, that's Brian's thing. As I said before, it's very hard. I'm very ambivalent. I can forgive him because there's a lot of time gone by, and I can try to understand some of the, the stuff that goes on in the wiring in the head, the psychology of it, if you want. And people like that do not get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be like that. I'm going to try to trash anybody who doesn't yield to me as the supreme being. Because it can't help it. This is the way it's wired. But I don't know if therapy helps.
But look at the way his career, it was so successful even after he left New Jersey 101.5. Mm-hmm. He had the world on a string. He had everything. He was working at a high-rated station in New York City. Mm-hmm. He had tickets to all the great sporting events. He had a network of celebrities and contacts. He had a Rolodex that you would dream of having, of being able to call anybody, and he just lost it all. He just blew it all on an addiction.
Well,
and it completely crashed him down. He hit rock bottom, and he completely lost everything.
You know, I wonder if that doesn't go with the psychology of this, because if you have that type of personality, this self-absorption and sort of almost feelings of aggrandizement about yourself, which we're saying, and again, not with any psychological authority, but I wonder what that had to do with gambling, because you must believe also that you can't lose.
That's it.
Wouldn't you think that would be part of
that? And that's the way he apparently felt right up to the end. He felt he couldn't lose.
Okay.
Lost his family, lost everything. And, I mean, that's me. I just feel terrible for the family.
Tom Wilkins, only Craig can answer for himself. I cannot remember a personality being talked about more regionally than Carton, getting more publicity than Marv Albert did when he was doing Marv Albert.
Right.
that was silliness.
That was small potatoes.
That was silliness. Yeah. It's about somebody who actually has hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he came out with a self-serving piece about redemption and how he's redeeming himself and going. I hope he does. Mm-hmm. I hope he does, because it's very possible that maybe he will have some metanoia experience and say, oh my God, I was this kind of a person, now I'm going to make it up again.
Right.
It would be good. It would be excellent, because he's a very talented person. There's no doubt about that. But it's how you used it. So
you want to move on to something else? And if people have more Craig Carton comments, we'll come back to that. You want to do that, or what do you want to do?
Okay. We have a lot of people who wanted to say things. I tell you what, why don't we move a little bit and do something a little bit lighter?
Yeah, but
the thing is that this is really complex sort of a thing, one's reaction to something like that. A person who had harassed you for, 5 years, you said, for no reason, and then you find out it's very hard for something down deep inside, a little devil, sitting on the right shoulder, telling the angel on the left to shut up. That, look at this, he got it. But I try not to do that.
You coming from the generation of character and respect and integrity, mm-hmm. having to deal with a later generation that was not raised on those principles life, it's quite a clash.
In fairness, it's almost necessary for a career in this type of broadcasting to create controversy. That's unfair, because people now are trained to, whether they're listening in a car or where it is, they want something tactile, something they can feel. Now, what have you got to turn on some physical response? Sex, which we don't do or didn't do, or outrage, anger to stir up. And this is what people who are consultants in the business will say, look, you've got to stir them up. But here's somebody who says, welcome back. Good to see you. Hope your family's doing well. Yes, thank you. Thank you for, I do appreciate that. Family's good. The boys, just quickly, people ask about how the sons are. They grew up while I was on the station. They were in and out. Jonathan, my youngest son, who became a hero in Afghanistan and Iraq. He was in a fleet marine, which he was a combat medic with advanced marine divisions in Afghanistan. Unhappily, he was safe himself, but he saw things that a human being should not have to see. But he's doing well. He's back. He's working in a new administration for, I think it's all the armed forces together, a health institute they have in Washington right now. My son Christian, the older son, was working with a tour company, and he was taking tours through the Amazon, the jungle.
South America, right?
Yeah, he also was kind of curious. He was in the Navy for 8 years. He got out of the Navy, went right to work for a Navy contractor, and then ended up in Iquitos, Peru, working from home for the Navy contractor. I don't know what that meant.
Sound like a pretty neat job to me.
I didn't ask, but anyway, they're very happy. Yeah. Manfred, my dog, just is recovering now from a procedure he had. This was a beautiful Doberman who has one ear up like Dobermans do. The other ear was flopping. So I could also leave it like that and say that was a compromise. The PETA people couldn't get after me because they don't like cropping ears. So I only cropped one.
Oh.
So
yeah.
they can only throw one or two stones, you know, at my house over.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move here. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. We will work this out, what we're supposed to be doing. Bob, you had to comment talking about another person who was very, very big, who suddenly got chopped down, and that is
O.J. Simpson. We just passed the 25-year anniversary of the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Perlman, and Ron Goldman. And the murders happened the week of June 12th, and this past Monday, the 17th, was the 25th anniversary of the big slow speed chase of O.J. in the white Bronco with A.C. Collins out in Los Angeles. So in commemoration, or maybe coincidence, I think it was more than planned, O.J. Simpson now is on Twitter, Jim.
Isn't everybody?
Well,
except me.
Now O.J. Simpson for the first time. There's a lot of fake accounts out there, but O.J. Simpson has created his own account, and it's called The Real OJ 32. And would you believe this? Within 4 or 5 days, 750,000 people have followed OJ Simpson's account.
But what did they say?
It's basically the funniest thing on the internet now. They're all, OJ will put out a daily tweet about how he wants to clear things up. He wants to get even with some people that have had their way with him on the internet for years. So he puts out a daily post, and then everybody else comments on it, and it's all jokes. It's like, you know, killer comment, OJ, or, you know, somebody's asking for advice, like, OJ, my wife cheated on me. What should I do?
You know, it's such a shame. He was such a great football player. Yeah. And he had a pretty good acting career going.
Yeah.
I can still remember him flipping down, you know, through the stadium in the wheelchair when they pushed him anyway.
As Norberg,
diddly
right?
Waking.
Yeah. On
Norberg, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. On, what was that, police squad or whatever? But, and the jokes are funny. Jim, another one is, what does O.J. Simpson and the Pittsburgh Steelers have in common? Both kill the Browns.
Well...
And one of my favorite ones is a little bit crazy, but we're on Facebook, so we can do this. All right, what is the difference between Colonel Sanders and O.J. Simpson? Well, Colonel Sanders cuts up his chicks first, and then he batters them. That's just a sample. So you tune in every day.
Ill.
Yeah, I know. But people are tuning in, and people are just saying it's the funniest thing. It's called The Real O.J. 32. That's his Twitter handle.
Anybody can, and
I'm on it every day. It's the funniest thing. Mm-hmm. When you're having a bad day, just go to the OJ Twitter feed. You'll feel better.
So any comments you have, and I wanted to mention again, because I catch myself doing it, we have a lot of stuff coming up on a screen, which is just to the side. And I can be talking with you and looking at the screen, which I know is impolite. But that's the setup. Anything else you've got?
No, I was going to say, if you want to talk about the budget at some point. I just got one question for you, and you've been doing this for a lot of time, and you and Eric Scott are really in tune to what's been going on. I just want to know, why the heck do we have to go through this last-minute budget negotiations with the threat of a state government shutdown every stinking year come around this time, right before July 4th?
Well,
why is it?
It's just built into the system. This is how they're using leverage, because you've got a few weeks between the presentation of the budget and the finalization of the budget, the governor signs or doesn't, and the end of June. And so everybody is rooster fighting over issues. Now, the governor has a big one here, which to me is fascinating, and that is about the governor's wish that they impose the so-called millionaire's tax. I don't know, this time around, every time the millionaire's tax has come up, there have been different figures that would qualify a person as a millionaire. One time I got down to $250,000 a year, which, you know, a family of two school teachers is going to be millionaires and overtaxed. I don't know how much it is, but he wants this tax to balance the budget, and there's supposed to be a good number of millions of dollars there that the, what I had a figure here, how many hundred, it was a sizable amount of money that would bring in from taxing the people who were in that category. The legislature will not go along with it, and, of course, Sweeney is aligned with them. So part of this is the Sweeney...
So this is a big showdown between Murphy and Sweeney.
Bout, yeah. It's not the steel cage grudge match yet. But they're going to the mat over a lot of things. And this is one of them. And it's just the way they do. But what I thought was interesting now, and you talk about this going down to the wire, the governor has finally resorted to a weapon that they have, and that is trotting out the mercenaries. This is something leaders who do. You get this all the time. You get, who is it, Maduro in Venezuela?
Mm.
You know, when he got in trouble, he called out the army, who was all getting paid, you know, for this thing. There's not anybody else down there supporting that we know of. And this, of course, historically this is done. So he's called out the stormtroopers, which are the public workers' unions. And they had a press conference with the governor, and he was backed by union heads of unions. And they are all threatening. Now, see, here is my point. This seems to be mobilizing this force, calling them out, almost like a medieval baron who, when he wanted to do something or got in trouble, he would call in the peasantry, people who depended on him to eat,
right.
Which the public workers' unions, you could get, you know, very close to that.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing. So now they're going to mobilize, and they are going to, apparently, as one union leader said, to say we're disappointed is an understatement. And he says, look at my brothers and sisters up here today. We won't be fooled again. We'll be at your office. We'll be on the phones.
Yeah.
Harassment.
Yep,
so he's calling on some harassment by the public workers' unions who owe him big time. He owes them big time.
They're the ones that basically got him elected.
Of a relationship. So this, to me, is interesting because something like this could get nasty. But also, you see, there's another element here. By doing that, he is also pitting Sweeney, his opposition in government.
Within his own party.
But his opponent in there, he's getting one up there because Sweeney's already kind of in the outhouse with the public workers' unions. For having cooperated with Chris Christie early in the Christie, before Christie left the state to pursue other opportunities. And so this would also drive a little bit more wedge between the two. Now, interestingly now, the members of the legislature are going to have to make a decision now which side to be on. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on both sides. But I do know that going back to the early time when the unions had taken umbrage at Sweeney's cooperation, they were causing him a lot of trouble in the building, in the house. It's a minor bit of harassment. So how far the harassment will go, I do not know. But anyway, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
A couple of comments. Lynn says it's the millionaire's tax is not going to fix anything.
I've got something about that. We've got one more call about that. John Harris Jr. hates taxes, but the reality is that no New Jersey governor in recent history has been able to achieve the state's financial woes yet. So Murphy is trying this. Yeah, now I don't have any problem with the millionaire's tax. I mean, some of these people, if you look at it, we had a story last week that some of these people are paying $200,000 a year in property tax.
Yeah.
Now, if they're willing to do that, throwing a few bucks into the pot does not bother me at all. Also, this could, if used wisely, now that's the catch. Very little money is it comes into the state. This could be a way to get a lot of the property taxes, over half of it, off the back of the taxpayers, because this could be money that would fund education, as the state's supposed to do. So you would not be paying the education part of your property taxes, the school part, which would be about a half savings. Now, as far I looked up some statistics. The argument goes that these millionaires, these rich people who pay the lion's share of taxes anyway, they're going to leave the state. All right, now here is the actual fact. New Jersey has 9 million people, roughly, population. There are 293,992 people who are, quote, millionaires, who through their filings and the like have incomes of that. That's almost 300,000. Now, that would be about 3% of the population. And yet, we find out that out of 293,992 millionaires, 4,700, they left the state possibly because of that.
That's how many that is? That's sizable.
That is 0.015%. 4,700 sounds big, but when you take that percentage of 300,000, it's less than a percent. Okay. So I don't think they're going anywhere. I don't have any problem with that. Now, what you have a problem with is the process and, of course, the results, what they're going to do with it. Okay, William Brewer says, used to be the mafia that was intertwined in the unions. Now it's politicians. That's why unions are run like the government and both are run like the mafia. They're very powerful. I urge again, since you brought up the mob, a piece by Steve Malenga, who's a great New Jersey writer and observer of the political scene. He's with the New Jersey Journal. And he wrote a piece called The Mob That Whacked New Jersey. And it's a brilliant short delineation of how the unions came in once they were allowed to form unions, which was in the 50s. Before that, they couldn't unionize. Reason they couldn't unionize, and it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because Steve Sweeney, who is president of the Ironworkers Union, this is why he got in trouble with the union. He was seeing this from the real-world unions.
Right.
In the real-world union, your benefits depend on your productivity, really. If the company's not doing well, you don't do well. And yet the public workers' unions, once they're allowed to form, this is an enchanted kingdom. They can't lose, because the money does not come from any kind of productivity, heaven knows, in many cases. It simply comes from the fact that you can take money from the Treasury, or the politicians can, and in return, you give the politicians support when they're running for re-election. So that's the basic equation there. So let's see. Bruce Eden, time for a governor with backbone to tell the public unions to negotiate reasonably to cut platinum health benefits and pensions, or bankruptcy will follow.
Bruce, I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon.
Bruce, I don't know if you saw this, or you, Bob. Last Sunday, there was a program on Frontline on public broadcasting. Anybody here see that? Dan, did you see that? Or Lou? And it's about that very thing. And it was all the states who are really going under bankrupt and are being prevented from using money for things that are productive to the population because they have sold out to the public workers' unions. And the huge debt and the huge fund they have for that, the benefit.
So what was the rub on that?
I don't know.
Other states
I taped it, and I was going to watch it last night, but I thought if I do, I'll get sick to my stomach.
I would presume, without watching it, that other states would be more successful in achieving that initiative as opposed to right here in New Jersey.
Well, everybody knows that's a problem in New Jersey. What is it, hundreds of millions of dollars now underfunded in the pension system, and they keep passing them out. Yeah. Why do they keep passing them out? Well, here's the group of mercenaries the governor can call in when he wants.
They're voters,
yeah,
just like the illegal immigrants that are getting driver's license in New York.
Okay, you know,
so
much.
That's coming here, too, Bob.
Do you remember Long John Neville?
I've heard a couple of his air checks,
Long John Neville was a legend in New York
funny.
Broadcasting. He did an all-night show, and I knew John and worked with him as the old WNBC. John was a great guy. But what he could do, he had a six-hour show at night, and they could sit there all that time and do anything they wanted.
Yeah.
And I always envied that.
Oh, he's a fun. I heard some of his tapes.
But I'm going to do an aside here, as long as I brought the name up. Long John Neville, one time, right after I went to work for WNBC, in fact, I think is maybe the day I went on the air, John and Henry Morgan, remember Henry Morgan?
Mm-hmm,
he was on some of the shows. They said, hey, you want to come down with us, kid? Come down and we have a cup of coffee in the drugstore. And that's the RCA building, you know, up on 6th Avenue. So we go down and sit in the drugstore. First thing they do, Morgan picks up the New York Times, turns to the obituary page.
He says,
this is what you do when you get old. But John Neville, God bless him, he said, look, I know this is new. You got a new job here. Would you like any money? And he reached out his pocket. He said, you want $1,000? You can give it back to me whenever you can.
Oh, how kind was that?
I didn't take it.
Wow.
But
just a gesture.
But there are great people in this business.
Yeah.
Okay, so, eating up the time here, Bob. You got anything else on your list?
Oh, Lenny Dykstra. He hit the news again this week, Jim. Lenny Dykstra, and I'm sure some of you...
He's hitting news like he used to do curveballs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The latest Lenny Dykstra saga was over the weekend. He lives in Linden or Union County. So as the story goes, he was having lunch at a Jersey Mike's. So Lenny's got dental problems, so he's apparently has an $80,000 denture. So picture Lenny inside the restaurant at a Jersey Mike's. All right, he takes out his dentures, puts them on the table on a napkin, starts to bite into a delicious Jersey Mike's sub. Starts gumming it. Enjoys it, and then he totally forgets that he left his dentures on the table. So he leaves. He's in a panic. He gets home. First of all, how do you walk out not knowing you don't have your teeth in your mouth? Wouldn't that be?
I don't look forward to that.
I know. So loses his teeth. He calls the restaurant. Hey, I left my teeth there. Has anyone seen them? I left them on a tissue or whatever. And they said, no, everything was thrown away. So Lenny says, I can't afford to lose these $80,000 dentures. They were made with bone marrow, as the story goes.
What?
That's what Lenny said. So Lenny starts to jump into the dumpster behind the Jersey Mike's in Linden and starts doing a little denture dumpster diving.
How did he know somebody threw him out, or he's just
the worker that said that the they threw all the stuff in the... So, get this. 9 hours later, he finds them.
Huh.
With the help of his friend, Sprinkles the Clown. He called his buddy Sprinkles the Clown to come over. So, Sprinkles and Lenny are in this dumpster for 9 hours, and they finally find his teeth.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, all's well that ended well.
Thank God for that.
Let's see, just back to the other thing. Gary Bode. Hi, Gary. Gary says, the state is not going bankrupt because of my benefits. I assume he's a public worker. Mm-hmm. It's because of corruption. You're quite correct.
Right.
It's not because of your benefits.
Nobody's denying the people that do a great job. It's just a matter of, hey, just think about what's going on here. And
It's a matter of the fact that it got overdone,
yes,
overextended, and it got way, way out of hand. And this was not your fault. Look, I don't blame the unions. When I was doing the morning show, I used to love to have the union heads on.
Right.
I love them.
And
because they're great people.
And for
they're
you,
only taking what they're given, right, the politicians. And he mentions the corruption, if you want to call it that, yes, because I think it was the New York Times once, or maybe the Wall Street Journal, they were doing an editorial piece about the New Jersey state debt. And they're talking about $20 million, right, $1 billion behind in some area. And they said, and it's a pity because most of that money was spent to buy votes.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to put it.
And for years we've tried to explain, but people just have this misnomer that the radio station has been against public workers and teachers. No,
well,
it's the relationship between the unions,
yeah,
and the politicians.
Now the union
that are
leaders
killing this state.
The union leaders are good people. They're professional people. It is their job,
right,
to get all they can.
Right.
It's
that's
their
why
job
they're making $300,000 to $500,000.
The toughest predator at the carcass.
That's why the NJEA
guy. And if the carcass
is
lying there, yeah, waiting for it,
that's
sure.
That's why the president of the NJEA is making twice what the governor makes.
Well, probably Lenny Dykstra did too once.
Well, yeah.
Jeremy Berg moved from New Jersey to Colorado and still a loyal listener to the podcast.
Thank you, Jeremy.
My son Christian, that I mentioned working in the Amazon, he's up in Evergreen, Colorado. Maybe you know where that is, Jeremy. They're sort of coming back and getting into some sort of a new venture, but I was talking with him last night, mm-hmm, and he's there. So thank you very much. You want to do that, Lou, about the podcast, the one that's up? Huh? Well, hey, here comes the director. Lou Hochman, the boss.
Whoa,
the boss
on camera.
Hi, I'm usually back there behind the scenes with these guys. But yeah, if you like the podcast, this is our shameless plug. You can always get it on the New Jersey 101.5 app. You can get it on Apple Podcasts. You can get it on Google Play Podcasts. You can get it almost anywhere you can get podcasts. So if you didn't hear everything today, or if you missed an episode, we really encourage you to subscribe on any of those platforms, and you can hear these wonderful people.
And we do ask you to try to help us is what we're doing. We're trying to figure out what this is about. The first time I got called by the station after I had been out for a while after my accident and said, hey, would you like to do a podcast? You sound like you would be up to it. What's a podcast? The manager, the program director at the time, says, I don't know.
But we want you to do one.
We want to know if you want to do one. So I came in. They had a meeting. And what's a podcast? Well, do anything you want. What? And so we went through that. But now everybody's doing podcasts. So we were kind of a pioneer in that area. And we may be one in this area, too.
But it's great. We've got more time to talk about the topics that you can't do in the regular radio station format because of breaks and time constraints.
We could sit here and talk forever about things that interest us. And of course, with the past we have, going back with 26, almost 30 years now with the radio station.
Gosh.
Went on the air in 1990.
Right. It'll be 30 years next March.
Yeah. We were involved in so much in New Jersey. You could go on. Everything leads to something else.
Yeah.
You're talking about a subject. All of a sudden, it's like the old computers with a million index cards, you know, running along an assembly line, and then one or two will drop in and say, oh, by the way, I got to tell you about that. Another thing, as long as we were interesting, the governor, who, of course, is always the prime focus of attention in New Jersey, and as opposed to many states, because it's like one large town,
right.
You know, because of the concentration of the population and the like. The legislature is proposing and passing 10 laws to enforce what would be common sense to a fifth grader, and that is ethics. Legislature, there is a, and they should put this on a banner under the flag of the State House, ethics schmethics. This is the New Jersey legislature. But this has to do with this alleged rape case, which we don't have to get into. I think people know about that. But the fact that you get to the point that it got up to the governor, there were hearings by practically everybody, every organization in the state, trying to find out who gave the guy, the alleged rapist, a job, and nobody can say. How do you get a very high-paying job as the chief of staff in a State Department organization, and nobody knows how? Nobody will say they hired him. Did he just walk in and sit down and put himself on the payroll, or what happened? And also, this also deals with that particular organization, some of these ethics, and that is because apparently when they went into this and set this up after the election, it's a new department after the election of the governor, the people running it had fired a lot of good, loyal state workers and brought in their relatives and their cronies.
Right.
And so I think they disbanded the department. Did they not disband that department? I think they did.
I think you're correct.
But anyway, this is something interesting. If you want to go on NJ1015.com, you can find out, you can get these 10 measures. But they're extremely simple.
Right.
Like, we should expand the education on what is harassment. My God, you don't know, and you're the governor?
Yeah.
And they've got to give you a lesson? I hope they make them sit in a tiny tot's classroom, you know, with their knees up under their chin and sit there and listen to stuff. Anyway, that's going on. Oh, speaking of the governor, you see the survey? One-third of the people in New Jersey. Now, we said that there were 9 million people, the population in New Jersey, so that would be 3 million people. Well, throw out suckling babes, you know, and maybe callow youth and nubile young maidens or something. But that's a lot of people. They don't know who the governor is. They cannot name the governor. They cannot name any governor. A lot of people remember Governor Kane.
Maybe people still think it's Governor Kane.
And they still think, oh, the guy that's perfect, you know, on the beach. So that's interesting. They had a survey one time. Actually, we're improving. I wonder how many of these were the so-called millennials. And the reason I ask that is at one time there was a survey taken during, I believe it was the Florio administration at Rider University, it was college then, among seniors, all seniors. And one of the questions on the survey was, who is the New Jersey governor? 50% did not know. Now, these would be, what, 18-year-olds?
Yeah.
17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds didn't know who the governor was. However, when they vote.
That's what it's all about, getting those fannies in the voting booth in November.
Let's see, what else we got here? The in-state college tuition for people in the state legally and for veterans.
Right.
I don't have a heck of a lot of problem with that. I don't know why the in-state college tuition should be different from the out-of-state college tuition. Yeah. Presumably, theoretically, it's because the parents of the in-state students and the students themselves are paying taxes in the state, much of which goes to the to education, to higher education. But these people, presumably, all you have to do, if you're paying taxes, I don't care if you come from the moon.
Right. Well, then, if you've got a, if there's a good school out of state that's going to provide the major that you're looking for, why can't you just go there for the same price?
I don't. Well, you know, I have an interesting thing. This is another side issue. Veterinary schools. We do not have a school of veterinary medicine. People who go out of state, the state will help subsidize. They'll pay their portion of the other states out
of
state.
Oh, they will. Okay, well, that's a good thing.
I got one more thing. Uh-huh. You're talking about the governor and the polls on that, and not knowing who the governor is. I was just wondering, in New Jersey, what would happen? Oh, there's much state talk now about the UFOs. Are they real? Because the Navy, U.S. Navy, has required reporting of them. Used to be they hide it, you know, cover it all up. And so that's back in the news again, UFOs and possibilities. What if a flying saucer landed in New Jersey? The Martian got out, the spaceman got out, and says, take me to your leader. Third of the people, I don't know who the leader is. What would they do?
That's right.
What would they do?
71% would know. The 71. Other 30?
So I would appeal now to anybody listening on the planet Glebe or Alpha Centauri planning on coming to visit here.
Right.
Maybe you're a film crew for the real...
You better know who our leader is before you get
the realistic television
here.
Show out
so
the internet.
So you can show yourself to our leader. Yeah.
Yeah, you better be very, very careful where you land.
Yes.
Don't land on a college campus.
Right, in New Jersey. Right.
Nobody. And also, there will be a big protest for some reason or other. Yeah. I bet he supported Donald Trump. Okay, I think that
will, I think that'll do. Think the only thing else I had was traffic delays this week.
Oh, yeah.
The worst traffic I saw was at the new Chick-fil-A drive-thru up in Morris Plains. They just opened up. People in that Morris County area were waiting for months when that thing was being built. It's on Route 10 by Route 202. Mm-hmm. Jim, I'm telling you, they have a cop out there directing people into the drive-thru. It's like a DMV inspection line.
Colonel Sanders wasn't organizing a protest to beat up the customers.
No. But that's pretty much it. I think that's where I'm going for lunch.
I want to throw one thing out that I'll expand on later because I'm beginning to see more and more of this. I saw a poll that said that something like 18% of the people polled support all of the Democratic Party's agenda. Mm. Now, that's shocking. Yeah. So I think what's happening is people are being a little more selective than that because the party's gone so far out in its leadership. I think the media... And whether to whose advantage is, I don't know. I think the media is presenting a case that would appear that the loony left is invincible.
Right.
And that's all we hear about when, in fact, it's not. It's all being inflated by the media because they endlessly report on that. There's a historical parallel when Napoleon first came ashore in France. He had a very small army, not much, but he sent PR people, is what it amounted to, ahead in all the towns, saying this invincible army's coming. You better get rid of now, get rid of everybody. He's coming in. Just prepare it for him because you will not be able to fight this. The word got around, and he went all the way to Paris, practically walking with very few people behind him, and moved in and took over simply because the public had been convinced that there was no point in fighting this.
Yeah.
And I think the media is doing a similar type thing here, saying that, you know, this is a shoe-in and for the left. Oh, Trump is out, and
that's the beauty of the 30-second soundbite. People abdicate their opinions to what they hear in 30-second soundbites. They don't get the full story.
Mm-hmm.
All we can tell you is, don't give your opinion to somebody else.
Don't give up your critical thinking.
Right.
You certainly have a right, and you have a brain.
Every day,
we had the top. One time the top consultant in this business, you know, Walter, said that this radio. He consulted a lot of big radio stations, certainly bigger ones. National network shows said this radio station had the most intelligent listeners of any radio station that he'd worked with.
Right.
And I believe that right now. Use your critical thinking. Look behind this. You were being told that this young twit in New York and the others are running the party. They're ahead of everything. They may not be.
Right. Do your
Look for the Empress's clothes.
Right. Be angry that people are trying to sway your opinion without your permission.
And getting away with it.
Right.
Without your influence.
Make your own
decisions.
Thank
you so much. I appreciate it.
It was great. A lot of fun.
People are as gracious as they used to be. It's good to know.
Same time next Thursday.
Same time, hopefully. Have a great week.
Okay.